Make sure to stay tuned at the end of the podcast for important safety information.
So I'd like to welcome Dr. Phil Ayers, and today he and I are going to discuss the utilization of commercially available multi-chamber bags. And Phil, as you know, multi-chamber bags have been used for a pretty long time in Europe, and I think over the last several years they're starting to gain widespread use in the United States. And so I'd just like to ask you what you see the role of multi-chamber bags and the delivery of parenteral nutrition is with regards to the United States.
Sure. Well, thank you, Gordon. It's a pleasure to be with you. And it's pretty interesting when we look at these products. They are relatively new to us in the United States, but they can be a viable option for many institutions. You know, when you look at these products, there are some potential safety advantages. Essentially, you simplify the ordering and the compounding process by using these multi-chamber bags. If you look at your patient population, and I would encourage everybody to do that, if you look at, you know, the patients that you see in your individual facilities, you might be able to provide adequate protein and calories by utilizing these multi-chamber bags. And so when you look at facilities that have limited acuity or low acuity levels and they have a low PN patient volume, they certainly might be a good fit for those facilities. So some of the smaller facilities, for instance, may benefit from having a multi-chamber bag on the formulary. And interesting enough, in some of the home patients, I've actually utilized these products as well. So for some of these home patients on home PN that are going to be gone for an extended period of time, these products actually are a very nice option for those patients to continue their parenteral nutrition as they travel. It's a very viable option for those patients as well. So there's certainly some unique roles for multi-chamber bags, and exciting to have, you know, new product and new products on the U.S. market that can be utilized.
So, Phil, you referred to multi-chamber bags on being on institutions' formulary list, and I was wondering if you could expand upon exactly how a facility would go about determining if multi-chamber bags were appropriate in their specific patient population.
Sure. I think I would look at to see what products were available, you know, to me in my facility. And then I would do an extensive review of parenteral nutrition use in the facility itself. You know, look at the acuity level of your patients and could these products be utilized in your patient population. Interesting enough, some facilities are actually utilizing multi-chamber bags and also continue the compound their PN to fit the individual needs of patients. So it's kind of a combination that we actually see in practice as well. When you look at these from a macro micronutrient standpoint, that's what I would encourage, you know, facilities and individuals to do. They may not meet the protein and caloric needs of your patient population. So I would certainly could be a limitation of using these products. And also I would say patients that have, you know, very high electrolyte requirements may not be candidates for multi-chamber bags as well. Maybe those patients who are volume restricted would not be candidates for multi-chamber bags. And then we think about patients who are renally impaired or have renal failure, whether it be acute or chronic, might not be candidates for using multi-chamber bags.
Also wanted to highlight the point that these products aren't necessarily what are referred to as ready to use, meaning that there does need to be some additions made to the bag. And I was going to ask you to comment on that as well.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. That's while we don't like to use the terminology pre-mix, you know, in pharmacy, when we think about pre-mix, we know that product is ready to go. And you know, these are very nice products and certainly can be utilized by facilities. But you have to understand that there are some additions that need to be made. They're not complete nutrition regimens. So one would need to consider adding multivitamins and trace elements and things even like folic acid to make it a complete nutrition regimen. I would caution our listeners to the fact that you want to be careful about adding additional electrolytes to these products. For instance, the addition of divalent, trivalent cations may render that parenteral nutrition unstable and unsafe to use in the patient. So I would say if you're looking at utilizing these products, you certainly need to involve a pharmacist. If you don't have a pharmacist on your team, you need to bring a pharmacist in and have them involved in that decision whether or not it would be safe to add additives to these multi-chamber bag products.
I appreciate you raising that point about adding divalent and trivalent cations and its impact on stability and how that can affect safety. I was wondering if there's any other important safety concerns that you would point out.
Yes, most definitely. I would say that you need to look at these products in terms of, you know, how will they be activated and who's going to activate this product. Really, that activation should occur in a sterile environment, USP 797 compliant, at least within facilities such as hospitals and home infusion companies. And that activation certainly requires training as well. So everybody really needs to understand and how to activate, how to appropriately activate the various products that are on the market. It's also important to look at how these products are going to be stored before and after they're activated. And who will be doing the admixing? So if it's in the facility, expertise needs to be there. If it's in the home, you know, again, we need to be sure we're teaching those patients and caregivers the appropriate way to do that. And hang time, especially in our facility, such as a hospital, there must be policies that address this. How long can these products hang? And again, from a safety perspective, and that's what we're certainly concerned about, is the hang time and what's appropriate. So all those policies, procedures need to be in place.
I know you and I have been involved with the Aspen Parenteral Nutrition Safe Practice Committee for several years. And one of the issues that that has come up and that you actually led a group in addressing with a position paper was related to the electronic health record and ordering of parenteral nutrition and some issues with that, as well as labeling of some of these products as well. And I was wondering if you could kind of give us the benefit of your experience and some of the research that you've done with regard to multi-chamber bags and how they're ordered through electronic health records and how they're labeled.
Yes, I'd be happy to. Again, this has been quite a challenge in the nutrition arena. We all know that we've seen the growth of electronic health records and certainly are very useful tools and have probably made ordering, especially medication, safer. But when we look at parenteral nutrition, that's certainly a very complex medication. So there's some work to be done in this area on the electronic health record side. It's really imperative that institutions look at the functionality that will allow the various clinicians to see what these multi-chamber bags are providing to the patient and really on a daily basis. So I would encourage you to work with your EHR vendors and maybe your in-house IT team. I think it's very important because it can be a little bit confusing sometimes with these products. So we need to kind of be able to visualize what we're giving our patients on a daily basis. And the other thing, too, when we look at the EHR, the multi-chamber bag order should match the label. And really, we would like for that to show the availability in terms of amounts per day of macro and micronutrients. And so this can be a challenge for a lot of people, especially that may not have the in-house expertise. So we continue to work with the EHR vendors and encourage them to make this available to their clients. And again, I think it's the safest way to order parenteral nutrition. And so we can roll these multi-chamber bags into that amounts per day so that everyone can see, that certainly would be a safe and much more effective way of looking at what we're delivering to our patients.
That's an extremely important point. And you and I both know, too, that just the whole process surrounding the prescribing and preparing and administration of parenteral nutrition is really a interdisciplinary process. It's not just a pharmacy process, and there's all kind of different disciplines involved. And to that point, you know, with the use of these products, there needs to be education surrounding the use of these products when they're introduced into an institution or a home infusion company. And there needs to be competency evaluations that are performed to ensure the safe use of multi-chamber bags. So I was wondering if you could comment a little on kind of what educational approaches you think should be taken and how to evaluate competency in all the different disciplines with the use of these products.
Yeah, I would definitely say this is certainly important because it, you know, parenteral nutrition, whether it be compounded or multi-chamber bag, is certainly very complex and a high alert medication. So when we look at parenteral nutrition, I think we really look at it as the PN process. So you've seen this published a number of times, kind of walking through that process, beginning with prescribing and reviewing, verifying, compounding, and administering these bags, whether they be multi-chamber or compounded in nature. So it's very important, I believe, to have policies, procedures that really address all these steps within the PN process. And as you mentioned, it's very important too to involve all the disciplines that will be utilizing parenteral nutrition and developing these policies and procedures. And so many, unfortunately, so many facilities don't have nutrition support services. So it's really important and imperative that we pull in all the disciplines as we work through this PN process and all steps. And it's very important too to realize that we must ensure competency in every one of these steps, whether it's prescribing, reviewing, verifying, compounding, or administering our PN and even our multi-chamber bags, because they are a parenteral nutrition product. This competency should be not only occur initially, but it should happen on an annual basis as well. And this is an area where, now Gordon, I know you've been involved with this as well, that Aspen has really put a lot of effort into trying to help develop competency tools. And so one might go to the Aspen website and find a PN toolkit. And so within that toolkit, you'll find a checklist, if you will, that address the areas of competency. It's pretty interesting. When we were actually developing the safety consensus recommendations and all through that, we talked about competency and education. And so many of the readers would give us feedback in terms of, we need some help developing those competency tools. So the PN Safety Committee has really done a very nice job of that as well. So important. And I know, Gordon, you've been certainly touting education throughout all the disciplines in your career as well. And so it is a very complex medication, a very complex process. And so that education and competency are so important to, again, ensure patient safety.
Well, I really appreciate your time and your insightful comments with regards to the use of multi-chamber bags in the United States, and just appreciate you spending some time with us today. So thank you.
That was a pleasure. I enjoyed it. Thanks again. Thanks for the opportunity.
Support for this program is provided by Fresenius Kabi. This program is not an accredited continuing education program. The speaker is being compensated by Fresenius Kabi for this program.
KabiVen, amino acids, electrolytes, dextrose, and lipid injectable emulsion for intravenous use. PeriKabiVen, amino acid, electrolytes, dextrose, and lipid injectable emulsion for intravenous use. Important safety information. What is KabiVen and PeriKabiVen? Indicated in adult patients as a source of calories, protein, electrolytes, and essential fatty acids for parenteral nutrition when oral or enteral nutrition is not possible, insufficient, or contraindicated. KabiVen and PeriKabiVen may be used to prevent essential fatty acid deficiency or treat negative nitrogen balance in adults. Do not exceed the recommended maximum infusion rate of 2.6 milliliters per kilogram per hour for KabiVen and 3.7 milliliters per kilogram per hour for PeriKabiVen. Limitations of use. Neither KabiVen nor PeriKabiVen is recommended in pediatric patients less than 2 years old because the fixed amount of the formulations do not meet nutritional needs in this age group. Do not use KabiVen or PeriKabiVen in patients who have simultaneous treatment with ceftriaxone in neonates 28 days of age or younger, known allergy to egg, soybean, peanut, or any of the active or inactive ingredients, abnormally high levels of lipid triglycerides in the blood with serum triglyceride concentration greater than 1,000 grams per deciliter, inborn errors of amino acid metabolism, a genetic defect in protein metabolism, cardiopulmonary instability, inability for the heart and lungs to function right, hemophagocytic syndrome, a disorder of the immune system. KabiVen and PeriKabiVen may cause serious side effects, including serious adverse reactions with rapid infusion of intravenous lipid emulsion in neonates and infants. Strictly follow the recommended total daily dosage and do not exceed the maximum infusion rate. If poor clearance of fats occurs, the infusion should be stopped and a medical evaluation started. Risk of parenteral nutrition-associated liver disease. Increased risk in patients who receive parenteral nutrition for greater than 2 weeks. Your healthcare provider will monitor liver tests. Pulmonary embolism, a blockage in a blood vessel in the lung, and respiratory distress, increased breathing rate, bluish skin color changes, wheezing, due to pulmonary vascular precipitates, solid substance in the blood vessels of the lungs. If signs of lung issues occur, stop the infusion and start a medical evaluation. Allergic reactions. Contact your healthcare provider immediately if you are experiencing an allergic reaction. Precipitation, solid substance in the blood vessel with ceftriaxone. Do not administer ceftriaxone simultaneously with Cabivan or pericabivan via a Y site. Infection fat overload, hypoglycemia, high blood sugar, and refeeding syndrome. Your healthcare provider will monitor you for signs and symptoms of early infection and blood levels. The most common adverse reactions for Cabivan greater than 3% are nausea, fever, high blood pressure, vomiting, decreased blood hemoglobin, decreased blood total protein, low blood potassium, and increased gamma-glutamyl transferase, a liver enzyme. The most common adverse reactions for pericabivan, greater than 3%, are high blood sugar, low blood potassium, fever, and increased blood lipids. To report suspected adverse reactions, contact Fresenius Kabi USA, LLC, at 1-800-551-7176, option 5, or FDA at 1-800-FDA-1088 or www.fda.gov/medwatch. Tell your doctor if you are taking Coumarin and Coumarin derivatives, including warfarin. The drug activity may be lessened and your healthcare provider will monitor your blood. These are not all the possible side effects associated with Cabivan and pericabivan. Call your healthcare provider for medical advice regarding Cabivan and pericabivan side effects. You are encouraged to report negative side effects of Cabivan and pericabivan. Contact Fresenius Kabi USA, LLC at 1-800-551-7176 or FDA at 1-800-FDA-1088 or www.fda.gov/medwatch. The FDA-approved product labeling can be found at www.fresenius-kabi-nutrition.com/cabivan-pi.